today I am wearing the jersey of my favorite football team.
All right.
All right. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Mary and I were talking this week about our Super Bowl party we're going to have this evening. Just how much fun our Super Bowl parties are here at Under Life Community Church. And so, Mary, just imagine if Cleveland Browns, if we were in the Super Bowl, just think how exciting of a Super Bowl party that would be. And she said, well, Pastor Tony, you might have a long time to wait for that car. I said, well, I prayed to the Lord. I heard that voice. I prayed to the Lord, Lord, please let me see the Cleveland Browns go to the Super Bowl before I die. And Mary said, you know, that might take about 100 years. I said, well, Lord, if that's what it takes, make it so. I'm willing to stay for my Browns. Make it so, make it so. And I can imagine the excitement that we would have. We're still going to have a good time. Amen. Now tonight, the game is between the Indianapolis Colts and the Chicago Bears. Amen. Okay. Carlos is in the back. Amen. Anyway. Now I realize that some of you could care less about this game, who's going to win or anything. Okay, right there, Pastor Kelly. Some of you might watch bits and pieces of the game. Others of us might watch for the commercials. Anybody ever just, they got some good commercials during the Super Bowl. Amen. And some of us, we just may come to the party tonight here at the church just for the food and the fellowship. Amen. I'll be here tonight for the food and the fellowship. Amen. Praise God. But I guarantee you that most of the people who are living in Indianapolis and in Chicago, those folks are excited and they are geared up. They are on fire. They're just going to have a good time. Well, here in Cleveland, Ohio, at Glenville New Life Community Church, today on this Super Bowl Sunday, I want us to look at another Super Bowl that is taking place. Hallelujah. This morning, we are going to look at a spiritual Super Bowl. Touch your neighbor and say, spiritual Super Bowl. A spiritual Super Bowl. Hallelujah. So I'm going to title our message, and what is it? A Super Bowl Christian. Touch your neighbor and tell them a Super Bowl Christian. Super Bowl Christian. Amen. First, let's join our hearts in prayer. Awesome ruler, gentle redeemer, God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you. You, Lord Jesus, by the living word. We ask, Lord, that you would speak. Speak to our hearts. Speak into our lives. For we, your team players, we're listening. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to transform our hearts, mold, make, and shape our lives into your image, pleasing unto you, that you might be glorified in our lives, in our families, in your church, be glorified. And we ask it ahead of time, in Jesus' mighty name, and all your saints said, amen. For this evening, the game of great importance are going to be played. Large men are going to face off across a long line of scrimmage. A call is going to be made, the leather snapped, and there's going to be a lot of crunching. All those kind of awful sounds, they're going to start taking place. A battle will begin. And for four 15-minute quarters, men are going to extend all this energy and Herculean efforts to move a piece of pigskin up and down the field. See, I did my homework and I found out they make a lot of pigskins. And they're going to move this pigskin up and down. And in the end, one team is going to emerge the victors. The trophy will be rewarded and rings will be presented. I'm talking about big rings. Cash is going to be given. Glory bestowed. Advertising contracts are coming out. And one team will have bragging rights for a whole year. Much is riding on this game. And around the world, corner. Get this. Tens of millions of people will be watching around the world. Today, fortunes will be made and fortunes will be lost. Unofficial estimates of sports betting topped over $4.5 billion as of last year. And tonight, Americans are going to be glued to their TV sets wanting to know the answer to this question. Who will win? Now, Carlos already told me the Chicago Bears are going to win. Okay. Frank told me the Indianapolis Colts are going to win. I see we're pretty split here. All right. But let me tell you who will win. The team who's going to win tonight's game will be the team that exhibits five specific traits. And you'll notice them in your notes that I have placed in our order of service. The team that has the greatest design. The team that has the greatest discipline. The team that has the greatest commitment and focus. The team that is willing to make the most sacrifices. And the team who has the greatest character. That's the team that's going to win. And as Pastor Rick added on to that, the team with the most points at the end of the game. They're going to win the game. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoever it will be, they will win the Super Bowl. Now in football, many people play the game. But there's only a few states that rise to the status of Super Bowl championship. Now, do you know what the rest of the NFL will be doing this evening? They'll be home watching the game, amen, or at a party somewhere watching the game. What separates a Super Bowl championship team from the team with the worst record? It's desire. It's determination, it's discipline, it's commitment, it's focus, it's sacrifice, and it's character. Applied day in and day out. Day in and day out. Say it with me. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. Hallelujah. The Green Bay Packers had a coach, his name was Vince Lombardi. And he was the winning coach of Super Bowl I. And he stated in a speech called What It Takes to Be Number One. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't want to win once in a while. You don't want to do things right once in a while. You want to do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right to the very top of his head. Every inch of him has to play. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know today that another game is being played, and you and I are a part of that game. But unlike the Super Bowl, our game is continuous. And our game will have continuous, eternal consequences. Say eternal consequences. Eternal, eternal consequences. So I want to do a little pre-game analysis of our game. All right, the teams are the world versus the church. Everybody say that. The world versus the church. All right. So let's do a pregame analysis of the coaches. All right, the world's coach, his name is Satan. He's ferocious. He's ugly. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill me. He wants to maim us. He's a liar. He's a thief. Scripture tells us he uses evil tactics to try to undo us. And he does whatever it takes. He studies us and tries to go at our weaknesses because he wants to take us to hell with him. Now the church's coach is Jesus Christ. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the truth, the way. He is the life. Hallelujah. He's never cheated. He doesn't approve of his teammates cheating. He doesn't allow us to do that. He is the living Word. Yes, he is. Now, let's look at the teams. That's us. That's the world. The first team is the world. Everybody say the world.
The world.
All right, now this ferociously keep going. This team out there, they will do anything to win. And I mean anything. Have you ever been stabbed in the back of the office before?
Yes.
They'll do anything to win. For that team, the world is very aggressive. And they're very good at recruiting. You see, Satan uses all kinds of things to recruit his team players. And sometimes it seems like everybody want to be on his team. Now let's look at team in the church. Everybody say the church. The church. Now this team, we have many players. Hallelujah. But guess what? Most of us don't even want to play the game. Now the world's team, they all want to be starters. And look at us. We don't even want to play the game. You know, there are some of us who'd rather sit on the sidelines and watch than get in and play the game. Now this team, the church, half the time we don't even look like a team. Because everybody is doing their own thing when they want to do it. Our team half the time is undisciplined. Half the time we refuse to listen to our coach, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has never, ever made a mistake. And we don't want to listen to his guidance for our lives. Now the players on our team, half the time, we seem better fit to be on the team out there than we are in the team in here. We more fit that team than we do this one. And this is probably why it's a poor recruitment. Most of us fit better out there than we do in here. All right, now let's look at the game. Everybody say the world.
The world.
The world out there is playing strong. Oh, they're playing strong. They use deceit, trickery, and lying, and all kinds of things. And their coach, the devil, does a good job of recruiting. He uses money and riches and fame and sex and all kind of crap, really, to ultimately to draw his team members in. Amen. And it also helps that many of the players on the team over here, it helps them out that we're either injured over here, or we tired, and we just, we just gave up. In fact, it looks like the other team, we just giving in the game. You ever seen somebody, just one team just give the other team the game? Half the time, we just giving them the game. Everybody say the church.
The church.
The church, that's us. Touch your neighbor and say, that's us. That's us. That's us.
Amen.
The church. We half the time are inconsistent. Say inconsistent.
Inconsistent.
We seem to have flashes of glory at times, but often we are an embarrassment to our coach, an embarrassment to the rest of the team. There are some on our team that need to be suspended. We just need to sit y'all down. Let's go somewhere and sit down. Until you get your act together. Actually, you need to sit down. This team, our team, has few players that will actually get in the game and play long because we're so tired of beating them. And this really doesn't make much sense because there is no greater coach than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus! That's what we call our coach. Major born upon a tree. He died to save humanity.
Jesus,
the living one.
Yes.
Yet, like the NFL, only a few Christians will rise to that Super Bowl championship level. So my question for us on this Super Bowl Sunday, Saints, is this. What does it take to become a Super Bowl Christian? What separates a champion from a little leaguer? I want you to look at your notes. I have printed 5 traits that define a Super Bowl team. And they're the same traits that define a Super Bowl Christian. What is the first sense? Desire. The second. Discipline. The third. The fourth.
Sacrifice.
And the fifth.
Character.
Now I want us to, I have printed out 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, and I want us to read that. that together in a portion of Philippians 3. All right, so let's read together 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now I'm going to read verses 12 and 13 in Philippians 3, and you come in on 14. Not that I have already obtained all this, I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, saints, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. The saints in this Corinthian passage, Paul is speaking of the games that were held in Corinth every 2 years. And the athletes there, they would win a crown made of leaves. And Paul is here encouraging the saints, the body of Christ, the Christians, to compete for more than that. Something, a prize that would last eternally. It would have lasting significance. Let's look at our notes. The first trait of a Super Bowl Christian is what?
Desire.
Paul said, run to win. Touch your neighbor and tell a neighbor, run to win.
Run to win.
Run to win. Saints, desire is to want something. Have you ever desired something?
Yes.
You've desired it so bad, you can almost taste it. I remember when Samantha was really, really little, we had this bowl of fruit, and there were strawberries in there, and she loved strawberries. It wasn't time to eat yet, so she was like looking at it, she was saying, strawberries. 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 I had to give up. Because, I mean, go ahead, Samantha, get some of those strawberries. It's like sometimes we can have a desire so that you can taste it even before you get it. Hallelujah. For the Super Bowl Christian, there is no greater desire than to be in close relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No closer. Does that, you just want, I want to know you, Lord. I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear what you're saying to me. I want to grow close. I want to become strong in you. That's the desire, to have that tight relationship. You can say, me and Jesus, we tight. I'm tight. No matter what comes in my life, I know you ain't going to leave me.
Amen.
I'm tight with Jesus.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Such a desire for God should compel us, saints, and then propel us to run with all we have. Now, I know if any of us have been chased by a dog or somebody that we was really trying to get away from, hopefully it wasn't the police or anything like that. We was running. Have you ever really run? I mean, really run. That's what Paul is talking about. Really run with all you have. But unfortunately, saints, instead of going for the goal, so many of us are settling for less.
Yeah.
For bronze, for silver, for wood.
Yeah.
Instead of going as fast and as strong as we can, some of us gave our lives to Christ. Go! Yes. I'm tired. I gotta sit down a while.
Yeah.
We even hardly left the starting line, but we sat down.
Yeah.
We comfortable now.
All right.
What does it take to make a professional athlete, saints? It begins with a burning desire to be one. You gotta compete and win. Touch your neighbor and say, compete and win.
Amen.
Now, Vince Lombardi said, The difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, it's not a lack of knowledge, but rather it's a lack of will. Everybody say a lack of will. Now the Apostle Paul, he had that desire, he had that will. He was the Vince Lombardi in the early church. He was that great coach in the early church. And he desires that you and I have that same desire burning in our souls. And yet, desire alone is not sufficient. Desire, saints, takes shape when it's accompanied by the next trait. And what is the next trait? Discipline. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. All right. A lot of us desire to get in shape. But guess what? You know what? If you don't discipline yourself, it ain't happening. It ain't gonna happen if you don't discipline yourself. You know, I may have the wanna. I mean, I really want this. But you know what? If I don't have the gotta, where I gotta get up and do what I gotta do, then guess what? I ain't gonna get what I want. Amen? You gotta have the wanna to get the gotta to get the given. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Again, that's how it now, the second trait of a Super Bowl Christian is discipline. Discipline is the fuel of success. Now, you know what? You may be the prettiest car in the showroom, but guess what? If you don't have no gas, you ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you gotta grow. You got to grow. You got to grow. Or you will be forever doomed as a spiritual weakling.
Yes.
And he can pray for Satan to come and just smack you around.
Yes.
In fact, you'll be so weak, Satan don't even need to go. He's sending one of his little baby demons to smack you around. And some of us, we are so weak that Satan don't even send his baby demons. Because guess what? We are with no threat. We ain't doing nothing for the kingdom of God. We ain't doing nothing for the kingdom. You know, so we don't even bother to. Don't even see these baby demons. Don't need to. You're not worth his efforts.
Amen.
To attempt to live the Christian life without discipline would be like, anybody remember Don Knotts?
Yes.
With his little bit. Getting in the ring with Mike Tyson. Don't you think somebody would get hurt up here?
Oh, yeah.
Little Don Knotts and Mike Tyson. How many like Rocky? Watch the Rocky films. Rocky 3, y'all remember Mr. T?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they was interviewing before fighting. They said, Mr. T, who's going to win this match? You going to win. He said, what's going to be the outcome? He said, pain. I can't even do it. It's pain. It's going to be the outcome. And it wasn't going to be him. It was going to be Rocky's face in there. All right. Paul tells us that a competitor goes into strict training. He beats his body. He strains on. He presses on. And like a bodybuilder who keeps adding more weight, you know those weights you keep adding on the end? In order to build muscle. All right. Let's be happy about my pussy. All right. Gotta build muscle mass. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, he had that desire. He kept adding weight. He kept building his muscles, his spiritual muscles. Hallelujah. Because he knew he needed the spiritual muscles. He needed the skill in order to pursue his desire. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, maturity in Jesus Christ doesn't just happen. Touch your neighbor and say, maturity just doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen.
It takes work.
Work.
It takes work.
Work.
You got to open up your word. You got to have an early morning rendezvous with the Lord before you go to work at your school. You got to get on your knees and say, Lord, before I start this, I need you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Get in that word. Come out for Bible study. Come out to the conferences that we and other churches offer. You need to grow.
Yes.
1 Timothy 4:7 says this, train yourself to be godly.
Yes.
Hebrews 12:7 says this, endure hardship.
Yes.
Say there are no shortcuts to shortcuts to peak spiritual condition either. Unfortunately, too many of us, we running around aimlessly and will never win the prize because we refuse to train. The word discipline has become a dirty word in our society. We don't even like to say the word discipline in our culture. You know why? Because discipline is not easy. Discipline is not fun. But it is essential to success. Touch your neighbor and say essential. It's essential. Discipline is essential to success. Tom Landry, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said, "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they always wanted to be."
All right.
Most of us want to win. If you want to win today, you want to win. All right, most of us want to win. We want to win. We just don't want to suffer. That's what we don't want to do. All right, amen. Discipline puts feet to a Christian's desire to become a Super Bowl Christian. You have to perform at the highest level. Let's look to our next trait. A Christian has to be what?
Committed.
We have to be focused and committed. So the third trait of a Super Bowl Christian is commitment. Focus and commitment, saints, will determine whether or not you view Christianity as a recreational sport or as a professional competition. Some of us are acting like it's a recreational sport. Unfortunately, commitment is dying in our American culture. And I think, like, with the generations, it keeps getting weaker. We baby boomers, like, above us, they had more commitment. We baby boomers, we had less than the generation above us. You know, because if we tired of something, we just get out of it. And, you know, I'm tired of you, honey, goodbye. Or we just so many things. We just get out of stuff so easy. And the younger generation is doing even worse. All right. So when life gets tough, the baby boomers, we're checking out. And I think the reason for this transit, we don't have the stick-to-it-ness that we need. Focus and commitment that we need. Yet a Super Bowl quality performance cannot be achieved without commitment. All of life's activities has its ups and downs. How many know within a day you can have several ups and downs? And whatever you're doing, several ups and downs. But only those who are committed to just writing it out, all right, are going to succeed. In Philippians 3, Paul said that he pressed on toward the goal. He was focused, he was committed to completing his own Super Bowl. He didn't give up on the 4th or on the 20th. He kept the end. Hallelujah, in mind. Always the end game in mind. Everybody say end game.
End game. End game.
Keep the end game in mind. Vince Lombardi said, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor." Vince said, "Once a man has made a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we call heart power," he said. "Once a man has made this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success." In 1998, quarterback Tony Rice led Notre Dame's football team to a national championship. Before the season, sports writers wondered whether Notre Dame could beat the teams with a quarterback like Tony Rice, whose passing was often inaccurate. They didn't know that Coach Lou Holtz had bought Tony Rice a dartboard and told him to practice throwing darts at that dartboard 1 hour a day. Rice, he didn't know how that was going to help him, but he did as his coach said. He was committed and he was focused and he threw darts an hour every day. Soon he began to throw passes on the field with more accuracy and confidence, both of which were evidenced in a banner season. Sisters and brothers, focus and commitment make the difference between the Super Bowl and between the Little League. Amen. This step is crucial. Touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, now pay attention, neighbor. Pay attention." All right. Without laser point focus and commitment, we fracture into many parts. We become double-minded. The book of James tells us that a double-minded man, A double-minded woman is unstable in all that she does. Saints, we have to have desire, discipline, commitment, and the next trait to becoming a Super Bowl Christian is a natural outflow of these three. And what is that?
Sacrifice.
The key to any venue is a willingness to
sacrifice.
Hebrews 12:1 tells us to throw up everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Saints, to sacrifice means to give up something for a purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
To sacrifice, you pay a price.
Yeah.
Liz Lombardi said, success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You have to pay the price to win, and you have to pay the price to get to the point where success is possible. Most important, you must pay the price to stay there. Now, football is a great deal, Saints, like life, and that it teaches that work and sacrifice and perseverance and selflessness and respect for authority is a price that each and all of us must pay to achieve a goal that is worthwhile. Now, a Super Bowl Christian will sacrifice. There are things that we will give up, and there are things that we will take on. All right, one thing that a Super Bowl Christian will give up is that we must give up our pet sins. How many are willing to admit you got a pet sin? Something that you do all the time, or at least, you know, every now and then. All right. Super Bowl Christians have to let go of those pet sins. You have to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to stop cussing. By the grace of God, I'm going to stop putting my children down. By the grace of God, I'm going to stop talking back to my parents. By the grace of God, I get the strength, I'm going to stop going down there to the clubs, doing that hoochie-coochie kind of stuff I don't need to be doing. I got to put away those pet sins, because they're keeping me from being a Super Bowl Christian. You either want to be or you don't. Christian, we take up crosses of ours and for others. We just don't go through life looking out for ourselves, but for the interests of others. So we help pick up their crosses too. Are you carrying somebody else's cross? Are you helping them carry their cross? We ought to be if we're Super Bowl Christian. Super Bowl Christians give up freedoms. All right, if you're going to be Super Bowl, you can't be doing any and everything you want to do when you want to do it. You got to get rid of that.
Yes.
You got to let go of some of those freedoms.
Let's
amen.
Go.
To be a Super Bowl Christian.
Yes.
This one we really have a trouble with. This is something that we take up as a Super Bowl Christian, and that is submission. Oh, we don't like that. Submission to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Submission to one another. Oh, we don't like submitting to each other. Let's do it my way. That's what I want. My way, not your way. I don't want to submit to what you want to do. We don't like others to tell us. It's hard. Submission. If you're going to be a Super Bowl Christian, it's a part of it. It's a part of it.
Yes, it is.
Well, saints, in doing these things, we are going to more and more reflect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You see, the beauty of sacrifice, the burden of sacrifice, is that it's not just a one-time event, saints. The Super Bowl Christian is like the Super Bowl athlete. You got to continue to train. You got to continue to make sacrifices. There are no off seasons. Touch your neighbor and say, there are no off seasons. There are no off seasons. Paul did not rest on his past achievements even when he was old. Scripture says, he said, I continue to press on. He knew that the goal line was still a few years ahead, but he wouldn't reach it until he closed his eyes in death. So, saints, the final trait is an element that ties the first four together and gives the first four shape. What is the fifth trait of a Super Bowl Christian?
Character!
Character. Charles Reed, he was an English novelist, he wrote this, sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Saints, without exception, every successful Super Bowl team has a game plan that integrates all of these elements that we have talked about today, training into a winning strategy. And for the Super Bowl Christian, character is the element that integrates desire and discipline and commitment and sacrifice. It just brings it all together. Character for the Christian can be defined as Christ-likeness. That's character. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Whether people are looking at me or not looking at me. You see, your character shows when you think ain't nobody looking. You're going to be like Jesus, whether you in a crowd or by yourself. And I say, well, I'm on vacation. Don't nobody know me around here. Jesus is with you. You're supposed to be like your coach. We're all supposed to be looking more and more and more like Jesus, our Savior. That's why Paul trained so hard. In Philippians 3:10, Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul acknowledged he wasn't there yet. He didn't have it all yet, but he was moving in that direction. Each day, closer and closer, because he had the desire, he had the discipline, he had the commitment, he had the focus, he had the sacrifice, and he had the godly character. And you know what, saints? Paul lost his life to a Roman soldier. They chopped his head off. And with the drawing of his last breath, Paul crossed that line of glory. Hallelujah. The clock had sounded and he had won. The Apostle Paul won the game. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was a Super Bowl Christian. Yes, he was. And waiting for him on the other side was that prize that he talked about. A prize greater than any Super Bowl ring. Okay, I'll make the ring yet. For Paul said there would be crowns and crowns and crowns waiting for him there in eternity. Yet today, saints, we are still here. And we are playing a very important game. You are a key player. Touch your name and say, you are a key player. You are a key player. You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to play for eternal rewards. You can win a prize that will never end. But the outcome is up to you. Will you today choose to be a Super Bowl Christian? Or will you choose to be a little leaguer? You know, as I looked over the congregation today, as we were praising, and some of us were like, I ain't did nothing for me. I ain't gonna crack my lips. I ain't gonna look like I'm glad to be here.